How are the town meetings handled for Lincoln?
Well, all the people gather there, and you've got your town clerk, your town treasurer, and your chairman, and the two supervisors, and they read the minutes of the last meeting.
Yeah, you forgot the constable.
Oh, the constable, too. And of course, anyone wants to bring up something that they think should be passed, some law, you know, in the township, they bring it up, and then somebody seconds the motion, and maybe there's discussion, and then they vote on it. And if it passes, well and good, and generally does, because somehow the no's are so weak. This is something that we always laugh about. Well, and then, like I said, there again, they levy money for the town's business.
Mm-hmm.
And they figure out just about how much they'll use, like the keeping up the town roads and, well, anything that they need, you know. And that is what they base the town taxes on. See, in your tax roll, there is school taxes and town taxes and
county taxes.
And county taxes.
State tax.
Is this once a year that this?
Once a year, the annual town meeting in April, isn't it, Hugh?
Let's see, is it the first Tuesday after first Monday?
I think so. And, well, you may, I think it's every second year that you elect your officers then. And so at that same town meeting, you have the ballot there. And
how are the officers nominated?
Well, now, Hugh, how does that work again?
Now, I think that they got to file their nomination papers.
Yeah, I think they file nomination papers. This has changed in the last couple of years.
Are women often on that board? Is it usually just men? Or?
Men.
So far, it's been only men. We need women.
Well, at your ballot clerks and all, that's open to women and everybody.
Yeah. Well, the other is too, Hugh. It's just no woman has ever
filed.
Now, in Algoma, in the city there, we have more women taking part in things. Although, no woman has been able to get on the board of supervisors there yet.
Algoma?
Yes. They have run, and they're always beaten.
Who's the town chairman of Lincoln now?
Gary Tase.
Gary Tase, yeah.
How do you spell his name?
Tayse. And his first name is Gary.
The State Historical Society is involved in a project of the different townships of the state, to track down the records of the different townships and find out where they are and how they are preserved and this type of thing, because we have people who are really interested in local histories now.
Abel, where's that county map? It shows all the towns on there.
Yeah, I don't know just where that is now. After I'll get it.
But people are so interested in local history and trying to do research, and it's very difficult when you don't know where the records are. And in many cases, you know, there's a town chairman and the records will stay in his house or...
Yeah.
So, I probably want to contact him. When you were young, how did you do your shopping? Things that you had to buy from the store that you didn't have on the farm?
Well, now you mean when I was little.
Yeah.
Well, I can remember my dad going to town with a wagon or a buggy, and this didn't happen too often. And that time the road was a little narrower, you know, and when he used to come back, he usually used to bring me colors, see, and I used to watch for him. Our house was situated over there more. This was a garage. Yeah. And I can remember watching with those trees overhead, and when he'd come, well, then, oh boy, just don't let him forget, you know. to bring the colors.
Crayons? Is
yes.
That, yeah,
uh-huh.
I see.
Here's your flat.
And we did our shopping not as often as we do it today. You know, like we make a point of our shopping every week now. And those days, well, we shopped less. Another thing, I don't think anybody those days, if you ran out of potatoes from your farm, you just struggled along because there weren't any potatoes in the stores.
Mm-hmm.
If you bought prunes, they were in a great big outfit, and you bought a pound and weighed them out. Coffee was the same way. And then I can remember the time when they had crackers in great big boxes like this, wooden boxes, and they were divided in the center. And then my dad said there was always so much crumbs in the bottom, see, and you bought pound by pound, and then here was all this mess left. And he mentioned to one storekeeper, he said, the day will come, he said, when they'll package this in pound packages. Oh, no, he says, that's too expensive. Today it's here.
Yeah, it's very common. Were there peddlers who came around?
Yes, and they had all these little things like laces, and they had those little pins, and all kinds of stuff like that, ribbons, and they came to your door, and I know my mother sometimes was a little bit, a peddler after all. She usually, sometimes she shut the door on them too, and just didn't say anything, you know.
Gypsies.
I never remember gypsies coming through here. But I heard that there were some.
Were there things, I know at home we had something called Raleigh products, or Watkins products.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We still have Watkins, but Raleigh I haven't seen for a couple of years.
Now they would come around. Do you,
yes.
In a buggy, was it that early? Or was it automobiles?
I don't know now.
Of late, that is...
Do you ever remember them, Hugh, going around in buggies?
Yeah.
Yes?
And automobile, too.
Oh, that, automobiles, I remember
buggies,
that.
Buggies, that right.
Mm-hmm. Now, what type of things did the Raleigh man sell?
Spices, liniments, aspirin, the whole deal, just like the Watkins did, you know.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It was
very good pepper and stuff like that. It was really good. Somehow or the other, they always had stronger peppers and spices than the stores did.
What kind of patent medicines would you buy, and what did you use on the farm? Did you buy medicine for the
liniment? Home? You know, I can't
stomach
remember.
Bitters.
No, we never bought. We never bought medicines very much.
You would go, when you went into Algoma, into town or something, you would get what you
needed?
Well,
you know, my mother used, do you know what wormwood is?
No.
Well, it's the most bitter herb that you can find, you know. It's very bitter. And it grows wild in certain sections around here. And she made tea for us. And when we had a bad cold, that bitter tea, I don't know whether it scared the tea or the cold or what, but we usually survived. And she used chamomile, too.
Now, is that a local?
Yeah, that's that little daisy-like
weed
thing that, it has a kind of a fuzzy-looking leaf. And, they're all over in your barnyards and everything. And she used to pick the blossoms. Oh, but that's not that, Hugh. He buys that.
Irish moss, yeah.
But this she'd make, and if we had a cold or something, she gave that
to us.
That's
my 4 gallon.
That's from the health store.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to do any good for arthritis. Well, anyway, another one was... what was this other one, Hugh, that she used to make, too?
Elderberry.
Elderberry tea, too. And that was supposed to do some good, too. Anyway, we never got sick. We survived this thing.
Did you buy things, like, this was a dairy farm, right?
Right.
Did you buy things to treat the cows with? Because I know cows have problems and udder creams and all those
things.
Well,
some. And once in a while when you, a cow got sick, you know, you didn't have big herds, you didn't have quite so many to get sick. You had a vet come in and he did things, and milk fever was something that cows got years ago. And then what did they do? They used to pump them up or something, didn't they?
Pump them up. Now they give them that...
Yeah, now they give them calcium. And sometimes the pumping up didn't work either.
Acemenia, yet you get a lot to it.
But years ago, the vet was further away for one thing, and you didn't have quite as many cattle, so they didn't get quite so often sick. And it was rather an unusual thing to have to get a vet.
You had some that practiced medicine too for vets.
Yes. There was a fellow down here, his name was John Fett, and he treated for milk fever. He wasn't a vet, but, well, he did little jobs that he thought was, you know, that he could do.
And mm-hmm. Lincoln was dual definite.
Yeah. There were these self-styled vets too, you know.
And they'd just go around to the neighbors
and help out them. Like that.
Huh? Well, when you call them, but you paid.
Yeah. You paid, but you didn't pay as much as you did to a regular vet, usually.
What about doctors? What if you had to have a doctor?
Well, there was a doctor in Lincoln. There's one at Hootsex. Dr. Kesher was here quite early in the time. And Dr. Halloyne.
Dorothy told me to ask you about Dr. Halloyne.
1913 yes. Was Dr. Kesher started.
Dr. Halloyne happened to be the doctor that brought me, I guess.
Now, did they call a doctor when a child was
you
to be born?
You called a doctor, yeah.
Or you'd send someone to bring the doctor, I guess, huh?
Well, there were Albrechts here that had a phone, this place that when other people didn't have a phone, they had. And usually, if we needed a doctor, we went over there and paid them for the call, you know, and called the doctor.
When would you have called a doctor? When there was going to be a baby? Were there other times that you would?
Oh, when somebody was sick that they didn't quite feel that it was not serious, you know, it was quite serious. Well, they'll call the doctor then.
And they strictly went on a house call basis.
Oh, no? Yes. Mm-hmm. And I don't think your doctors those days charge more than $3-4 a call. And coming to the house yet.
So you would never take someone into Algoma if they were sick. The doctor would always
come out
here.
No, they'd come in
here.
I drove 7 winters from.
What?
I drove 7 winters from Dr. Kitcher in Lincoln.
Oh, Dr. Kitcher. Now, he's still alive, right?
Yeah, he is.
He's still practicing.
Still practicing.
I'm going to fix my fire because I think it's going down.
When you say you drove for him, did you drive a car for him? Buggy?
Horses.
Horses?
That was in winter.
Uh-huh.
Horses, snowmobile, and car, we averaged 100 miles a day. Entire winter.
So you would drive him wherever he needed to go, and you took care of the horses and mm-hmm. things like that while he was doing his business.
Yeah.
What did they do if somebody had an appendicitis and had to have surgery or something like that? Did they do it at home or?
No, they took him to the hospital.
In Algoma?
Green Bay mostly.
Green Bay.
See, Algoma didn't have any hospital at the time when I drove there.
Yeah, Mrs. Foshin told me about her husband establishing the hospital over in Algoma when he mm-hmm. first went there, which was in the 20s, I guess.
I don't know if they had it in the 20s yet.
I think it would be you.
And he bought an old house and converted it into a hospital originally.
Right. Almost across from the plywood
on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
No, I tell you, there were times we went way up to Little Sturgeon, New Franken, and all over calls.
Oh, Dr. Kesher would.
Kesher, yeah.
I guess they worked long hours. What about dental care? Did you have any dental care?
Yes, I remember I was in grade school and I went to the dentist. But it wasn't as good as it is today, you know what I mean. Then you neglected it a year or two and it wasn't something that kept on all the time.
Did the schools in those days have any health problems for the children?
Yes.
Lice.
We'd get the teachers, it must have been the teachers that got these questionnaires, you know, and then a nurse came in. This was during World War I, and they tested your eyes, and they looked at your teeth and things like that, you know, and told you if they thought you should go to the dentist. And
would this have been a county nurse, or?
It was a county nurse, yes. But I think it was a special, for just a special time, you know. And then also, we had what they call the Crusader program, the same thing as this lung program today. It was started out. And the teachers got all these questionnaires, and do you brush your teeth every day, and you put a check mark, and do you eat, do you drink milk, and all that sort of thing, about 10 questions, and you kept track for about 6 weeks. And that was the health program.
Oh, I see. The kids would keep it at home.
Yeah. And then there was another thing, which I think we could learn today. We did have 1 year of what they call physiology, and we were taught things like the circulation of the blood and digestion and all about foods. They didn't know as much about foods those days. Maybe that's why they don't teach it today. There's too much.
Yeah.
And I think that program was good because I know that it made a big impression on me anyway.
Getting back to the doctor for long hours. We stayed 4 days, no, 5 days and four nights without taking our shoes off.
One call to another.
Two confinements a night.
Women, oh, having babies. Oh, I see. And all the babies were born at home, I guess. In
those
days.
Just about. Uh-huh. We're coming back to that. Did you see that article?
I saw that.
You know what
the
confinement case cost?
What?
$10.
$10. Could you tell me anything about when? Back to the town meetings, sort of, and your tax structure and this type of thing. Did you find that the Belgians in particular were very conservative about money and this type of thing? We have heard this. Do you think it's really true? Or?
Yes, I think it is to a certain extent. I think they're a little bit afraid of new things, you know. Don't you think so, Hugh?
Donald Lincoln has always holding back on the levy.
Kewaunee County is kind of conservative, I'd say, all through. So maybe it's because some of these people, they had hard times when they came over, you know, mm-hmm. the early people, and I suppose this has been something that they've been used to, saving money.
So if you want something new in the town, you might have a little difficulty getting
yes,
the money.
If you can make them see where they're going to gain by it, then they'll come along.
What about attitudes toward mortgages or loans or anything like this? Was there a general attitude against this type of thing, or were mortgages common, do you know?
I think people tried to pay their debts as soon as possible. I don't think they liked to go, you know, and risk a lot of money. I think this generation is, well, getting away from that. But there were money lenders in the old days. Now, there was a man by the name of Gregor Dennis. Does that strike anything with you?
D-E-N-I-S.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if I'm not mistaken, he has lent money even on farms as far out as here. Seems to me that there was a farm in Lincoln Township.
Let me show up.
Yeah, and
C-H-A-L-L-E.
Old Joe Shaw.
You must have been digging.
We have been digging, and from the pronunciation, it's often hard to know how you spell these
names. Well, see, that's the Belgian pronunciation. Uh-huh. Right now, these people call themselves Shelley or something like that, but we know them the other way, you know. But it's true that people did borrow money, but they were very conscientious years ago about paying this money back as soon as they could. Nobody liked debts in the old days. And I think this is something that has changed, and I'm not sure that that's a good change either. You know, people get too too lax in these things.
Do you think the Belgian outlook on that was any different than, say, the German and Bohemian?
Well, I don't think so, but I might be wrong about that. I don't have that much experience, you know, but I think all the older people were afraid. I know my father, being a Bohemian, did not like debts either. And if he did have to buy something on time, well, he paid it up as soon as possible.
I do know Mrs. Grace Laments at Rosier, you may know. She was a LaGrave, Grace Laments. Her husband is Harvey Laments. They live next to Rosier at the feed mill. She has some of the family records of the LaGrave family pretty far back. And even interest rates years ago were very high. I was surprised. 8%, 9%, and 10% interest. Granted, the mortgage might be $900. Only, but the interest rate was that high even in those days.
Mortgages from way back.
Yes, that we do have mortgages. You know, old ones that are canceled off.
Folks.
Yeah, we'd be interested in seeing. Do you know anything about? Was it common for farm people to write poetry or to keep diaries?
No. Can he get through, I wonder?
Well,
did you know of, was it common for people to keep diaries or do any kind of creative thing like that? Did you?
Well, I don't know anyone around here, but I did have an aunt, you know, who was an author. She wrote to this Story of Bohemia, which is a history, you know. And she did write some poetry too, although we don't have any of her poetry that she wrote, you know. And she was quite artistic. And now here is something. She went to the Columbia University, I believe it was.
In New York?
Cornell now. She was a graduate. Something that a woman doesn't do today, you know, or that day.
Pardon me, ma'am. That was Cornell.
Cornell University.
Which is in Ithaca, New York.
Yeah.
That was very unusual.
And she was, I think if she was living today, she'd have been women's lib, because she was that type of woman.
How did you get involved with the library in Algoma?
Well, I tell you, that was about the time when my youngest daughter would be going to school, see? And I figured that I needed some extra cash. And I liked reading anyway. And one day, I always had a card at the library, and I went down there, and I was talking with Mrs. Gert Hoyer. You know who I mean?
I've heard the name.
And she works at the library at Brown County. And she says, why don't you take that course, she said, for library work. She says, I've got the blanks here to fill out. And, you know, I did take that course. And then I worked, a short time in Kewaunee. And then Gert got me a job with her. And from then on, I was situated with the library there. And when Gert went on to Green Bay, I got the head job in library. So that's how I became the librarian, which wasn't too bad.
Was it well supported?
Well, a certain bunch in Algoma supports it well, but there are quite a few people that don't know why we need libraries, you know. And I think you have this all over. But it's a very fine thing for a town.
How was the money raised?
That is raised by the city government, you know. The head librarian makes out her budget every year. Then there's a library board, and they go over the budget with her, and if they think she's too high in spots, well, they cop it off. Although I never had that happen. They always approve my budget. And then after the board approves it, it goes to the city council, and the city council has to approve it. And the money for that is raised by taxes in the city.
So that library is actually a city library?
That's a city library, yes. And so is Kewanee's.
Is there a county facility at all?
Today, the both libraries have opened their doors to the county, and they will get reimbursed from the county for the use of the library. See, that's the new county system that we have.
And is that a pretty recent development?
Yes, that only happened since the first of the year. This is new.
So there were no facilities for Kewanee County residents?
No facilities, except that I would go in from Lincoln Township here and I'd buy a card, and then I could use the library for it the whole year. And Pierce Township and Anapee Township would sign a contract with the library every year for so much money, and then their people could come in and use the library. And that was what, and Kewanee had the same thing with some other townships. And Luxembourg Township, Red River, and the villages of Casco and Luxembourg Village had no library service except if they wanted to go and pay for it.
How much would it cost per year?
Well, it used to cost Anapee something like $900 a year, and I think the other one was $350 or something like that, because, see, Kewanee shared Pierce with us because it's right in the middle there. And
The township would pay $900,
yes,
or whatever.
And a card used to cost $3, and the last couple of years it was $4. Which wasn't too much, you know. That was really very reasonable. Then the last year here, they were $10 per family.
But the county didn't see any reason to provide library facilities.
Well, until it began. See, about this time, the state is working to provide library service all over the state. And then there was a county board chosen, a library board, and this library board planned this system now. And of course now we're also in the multi-county system, which we will get help from Brown County, and we can use their materials too. Of course our taxes have to pay a certain amount of that, but that's only right.
But there was never bookmobile or this type of thing?
Yes, a couple of years ago Door County and Kewanee County was in a program that was partly financed by the government. And there was bookmobile service all the schools in Kewanee County, and it was a very good thing. And some people did not see it, and the townships voted against it. And so we went out of it. And well, a lot of us that were very, very sad about it, but what can you do? You can only vote once.
Well, was it, if the voters voted it down, there must have been an attitude that, was there an attitude that if it was good enough for me, it was good enough for my child? Or
yes, and what do we need? This is the attitude of so many people I hear this from. We have libraries in the schools. Why should we have public libraries? Well, I have tried to tell people that people read after they get out of school. But you know, you can reach some people. There are a lot of people who don't care for reading. You have to admit it. And I don't think television helped either, you know. This was an easy way of getting, you make no effort there. It's handed to you on a spoon. And I don't think television helped. With some people, again, they like to see a thing on television and then get the book and read it. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't work that way with everyone. I think that's a pity, but that's the way it is. Well, you're going, George.
Can you tell me anything about special foods that you might have had, especially Belgian foods?
Yes, I can. You know, you've heard of the kermesses.
Yes.
And at the kermesses, they made Belgian pies. Now, this is a yeast dough, mm-hmm. but it has a filling in. Most of the time, it's a prune filling, or a raisin filling, or apple filling, and then with cottage cheese on top. And why some of these people make 20, 25 pies and maybe even more than that, and then everybody comes home for the kermesses. And the kermesses used to last 2 days. Today they last only 1 day and not very much anymore. You know, it's more, I don't know, it's going out of date, which is really a pity in a way. But the old-fashioned kermesse was something. And we didn't have school on the Monday when I taught. And that day was off because it was kermesse.
Now, would your family go to visit the Debris? Or
sometimes they did, yes. And by the way, the early days, we traveled in a surrey. It didn't have a fringe on top, but it was a surrey. A team of horses.
Well, now, how many were in your family?
This brother and another brother that's 11 years older than I am, and just myself.
So there were only three. That was an unusually small family, really.
Well, I think my folks were kind of up to date.
Progressive.
That. Yeah, I think so. They did not believe in large families. They thought this was all they could afford. That was it.
Especially for a farm family, I think that was unusual because the farms usually needed the children.
Another thing, all of us went to high school.
So your family stressed education then?
Very much so. Uh-huh. They believed in education, and my dad had a library. He must have had about 500 books, and he always read a lot. He didn't read just poor things. He read histories and biographies, and he knew history very well for a man of his type, and yet he had only a third grade education.
Well, now, what about your mother?
Well, she wasn't so much to read, but she liked to hear things, you know, and she didn't have too much education either, third grade. they were both interested in things that were going on.
Were there other foods other than the Belgian pies that you can remember that your mother made that were Belgian?
Oh, yes. This I ate mostly when I went, you know, when I taught school out there. See, I boarded with people. Now, you know what milk gravy is on potatoes?
No.
Well, you take butter in a saucepan, you know, and brown it kind of. Then you put milk on it and let it get hot. Then you take potatoes and pour your hot milk over and you serve them like that. That's very common among the Belgian settlement. Rusty. And another thing, they